The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
It's not another Buffalo podcast. With John.
All you people out there who are like, these idiots don't know anything. First of all, you're right. And second of all,
ha! Like, why? It's like, you ever watch Arrested Development where George Bluth Sr. is crying? And he's like, why does Oscar have hair and I have money? Why can't I have money and have hair and Oscar have nothing?
And Rando.
If Eli Manning can beat an undefeated New England Patriots team, then I can do anything that I want in this world.
On Buffalo Rumblings.
All right, welcome back to Not Another Buffalo Podcast. I'm John. I'm here with my buddies, as always, Pat and Brando, here on a Wednesday evening. This is the Buffalo Rumblings Podcast. You can find us on most platforms at Not Buff Podcast. This episode is brought to you by Small City Realty. Now, we actually have a house for sale in Batavia that anybody interested in moving to Batavia, New York, is going to want to check out. It's a great deal. 344 West Main Street, Batavia, New York. I know you guys know because we grew up in the area, but great area to live. Awesome school systems. 4 beds, 2 baths. 1,400 square feet. This is a new flip, so everything has been redone on the inside. Walking distance to restaurants, everything's updated. Kitchen is brand new with new lighting, cabinets, counters, backsplash. So I'm going to put the Zillow link in the show notes for you guys so you can check it out. If you do want to move to Batavia, New York, or you're looking for a nicer place in Batavia, New York, check this out. Again, it's 344 West Main Street, Batavia, New York. And if you are definitely interested in that and you want to call the listing agent, give him a call at 585-409-1088. And that's Zach Corzilius at Small City Realty.
It's got a nice big backyard too for those two-hand touch football games or those little backyard golf courses that we have built in our days.
Yes, any
of those stuff. You got to have the backyard.
If you're in an apartment and you're looking to improve your chipping game, this might be it.
I am looking to do that every way possible. So if I have to buy a house to be able to chip better, then I think that's in the cards, right?
Yeah.
It's an investment, man.
Well, sweet. Where do you guys want to start tonight? How you guys doing? Do you have good weeks, bad weeks, just been busy?
Yeah. You know,
I think we talked before the episode, nobody has their taxes done yet. So nope. That's par for the course for what you'd expect from Not Another Buffalo Podcast, right?
So this is a funny story, actually. I was just talking to one of my tennis players. Like, I make a Google Classroom for tennis and everything. And, you know, we talk about being slacker sometimes, but I don't think I ooze slacker most of the time. And I made this Google Classroom and the kid was like, you just make it? And I was like, no, I made it this morning. He's like, did you just make it? And I was like, what do you think? What do you think I am? He's like, I think you're a procrastinator. And I was like, no. I was like,
How old are these students?
This guy's an 11th grader. 11th grader.
Okay. All right. That's a pretty profound second grader if they're asking you stuff like that.
I was like, I'm a busy guy. So I got it done ahead of time, actually. So it's like, you don't know me, even if I did Slack, but you don't know. But anyways, so.
Yeah.
Taxes are definitely getting slacked on. Professionalism stuff does not get slacked on, but you know, I guess if you don't do your taxes, you go to jail. So we should probably do those.
Taxes are due April 15th, everybody. Public service announcement.
Unless you file an extension.
Which none of us will, probably. But. All right. So obviously Bills made a lot of moves this past week. I'm going to say this goes all the way back to Curtis Samuel. They signed Curtis Samuel the day after we did our last podcast.
That's true.
We didn't
talk
about that.
Wasn't he in your bargain bin, Brando?
Yes, he was. Thank you, Pat. Thank you. And I'm glad Brandon Bean listened. I think he's an awesome pickup. I just threw like a 70-yard touchdown bomb to him in my Madden league because I have him on my Madden team. And he is 4.3 speed, underutilized slot receiver, had his best season under Joe Brady with the Panthers. If you look at his efficiency and his yards per catch, everything was the best that year. And I think having bad quarterbacks have really derailed him. One thing I really find fascinating, I saw a stat about him, like the next gen analytics stats, was his time to separation. So is how long is it before you separate from the cornerback until you're open? And I think he was like maybe like eighth or ninth, and it was like 2 seconds. And Gabe Davis was like 89th, and it was like three and a half seconds. So think of all of these little short slants, right? The offense, the dink and dunk offense that we kind of had to adjust with this year with the double safeties over the top. I think Curtis Samuel is a huge weapon. We lose the outside boundary X receiver, but to fill snaps with Curtis Samuel is going to fit this offense seamlessly. He is a huge
short area quickness.
He's going to be a boom player. I think you're going to see him have a career year in Buffalo in this system. I think he's going to like shatter his career high. I think it's maybe 650, 700 yards.
I think it's 800.
I think it's correct. I think, yeah, I thought it was like 800 or 900 actually.
And that's like with Kyle Allen throwing passes, but I did see he was wearing number one. Which last worn by Emmanuel Sanders. I think Emmanuel Sanders playing for the Bills had right around 900 receiving yards. Do you think,
I think he had a little less?
That's a reasonable expectation.
I think so. I think 1,000 yards would be exceeding expectation, but I would slot him in right around 900, like you said. Now, the interesting thing is where you slot him in targets, because you know, you're thinking, is he going to be part of the top three in targets?
No.
I think he's going to be he's going to have that explosive one play per game and like 2 to 3 other catches. He's going to be like a 3-catch-per-game guy. Maybe they use him in the backfield. He's obviously not going to be a high target thing, but I mean, it's exciting. And I don't want to say I'm an expert on Curtis Samuel, but he has been on my fantasy bench for about 9 out of the last 10 teams that I've managed in the last 3 years. He's always that bargain pick for me, because I always thought that he was buried on that depth chart because A, the bad quarterback play, but also the other talented receivers that were on those rosters that were ahead of him. So he just never really got volume in targets and stuff like that. Yeah. He has battled injuries and stuff before, but now here's another question. Does this take us off of the wide receiver train at all? Cause like for me, it does not. I have not changed my stance on wide receivers at all.
I don't know. What? I don't know. I got 1 foot in the train now, and I got there, 1 foot on the tarmac here, I guess you would call it.
Well, that's a recipe for disaster physically, Brando. I hope.
Yeah. I'm not very flexible, so I'm going down either way. But John, I don't want to transition us so fast into this next segment here. I want to hear.
Do it, man. This is a 20-minute podcast. All right. 20 to an hour podcast.
Okay. We talking about the wide receiver train, all right? Choo-choo. I do this thing with my kids. It's like, I used to be Mr. B, and it was the B train for the hallway walks. And I have the conductor as the line leader. The middle person keeps an eye on the front and the back. And then I have the caboose. And then I always say, what's the train say? They all say choo-choo. And we walk in the hallway and there's everybody silent. And it's great. So anyways, totally irrelevant to this podcast. The wide receiver train idea. Now, we've talked over and over and over. We need to have another wide receiver. And I agree with you. I am all for any way possible to do this. And it turns out that sometimes when you're any way possible, let's get it done, you do some irresponsible things, whether it's in your golf game. Oh, I'm trying to get better. I'm going to buy $1,000 set of irons. I'm going to buy a new driver. You know, oh, I need a new car. I'm going to go buy a $40,000 Jeep. Oh, I need a new whatever, right? You're going to go spend money on it that you could use elsewhere. And that's the word I'm looking for here is efficiency of asset management. You know, we're talking big words. So let's make that simple. Simple words here. We recently just signed a couple defensive players, right? We signed a safety and we signed a D-end, and we are plugging those holes so we don't need to draft them, right? That's what I'm thinking. We are plugging the holes so we can use those draft assets elsewhere. With 11 picks, we have holes to fill. Now, the best value is what we want at our pick always. We want the best player available at the best value. That's why you plug your holes in free agency so you can draft best player available. available.
Big asterisk there, though, right?
Well, the best that you can, right? Best player available. You always want your team to not chase need, right? You chase need, you got Kyrie Elam, who could still be good. He's 22 years old. You know, I'm not selling that shit. But when we look at the NFL and we look at our D-line and we look at our wide receivers, we're talking about the hit rates of wide receivers in other rounds, right? We want a first round guy. It's 50-50. We want another round, maybe a second or a third round guy. We want to take two. So I looked into it a little bit and I was thinking about Ed Oliver, who was the 11th pick, right? The 12th, maybe something like this. So I wanted to know how many star wide receivers were taken in the first round. And I wanted to know how many star D tackles were taken in the first round. Well, so
what can you define star though?
Star top 10 paid in the league right now.
Can we include Star Lotulelei as well on a name basis?
Or? Yes, he is a star. Yeah, and at one point, he was the breakout player for the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, my God. I was going to say.
He's my breakout player on my first episode.
Your first episode with us.
Yes.
I remember you yelling at us from a beanbag. Yep. Star Lotulelei. Yep. He's my star.
Yeah. So, good clip. Anyways. Classic. So, we're looking through here, and we have talked about this before, right? 50-50. Hit rate in the first round. You can, and we talked about this when I was in Florida, that we think Brandon Bean would go defense in the first round because of all these other players that have hit in other rounds. And I did, like I said, I did a little research here. So I'm going to read to you the top 10 wide receivers in the NFL based on salary. And I want you to tell me how many are first round picks. Okay. Don't tell me. I'm going to read them all off and then you tell me. Okay. In first to last order by pay. Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams, Cooper Kupp, A.J. Brown, Stephon Diggs, D.K. Metcalf, Deebo Samuel, Michael Pittman Jr., Calvin Ridley, and Terry McLaurin. It's a good list, right?
Okay, I think maybe one of those is a first-round pick.
Pat, do you
have let's see. Tyreek, I think he's a third-rounder. Calvin Ridley, first-rounder?
Calvin Ridley is, he's definitely a first-rounder.
Calvin Ridley is a second-rounder.
Round I know Devontae Adams is a second-rounder because he's not the exception to the Packers rule.
A.J. Brown is a second rounder as well.
Yeah. Who else we got on this list?
DK might be third round.
Second.
Yeah.
Second. Okay.
Deebo Samuel is a first round draft pick, though. I'm almost certain.
Nope.
No?
Second round, 36th overall. Close. 36,
okay. Yeah. Yeah. Florida State, I remember, he was a stud. Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna read you the rounds here. Okay. Tyreek Hill, fifth round, 165th overall. Devontae Adams, second round, 53rd overall. Cooper Kupp, third round, 69th overall. A.J. Brown, second round, 51st overall. Stephon Diggs, fifth round, 146th. DK Metcalf, second round, 64th. Deebo Samuel, second round, 36th overall. Michael Pittman Jr., second round, 34th overall. Calvin Ridley, first round, 26th overall. Terry McLaurin, third round, 76th overall. What does that list say to you, John?
It says you can get a lot of value past round one.
Yes, it does.
I think that I'd still be like, I want two wide receivers in the first three rounds. So if that's round two and three, then that's fine. Now, you have to, do we have a third round pick this year? Are we missing that third round pick?
No, I think we have a third round pick.
Yeah, you might have to check that. I'm looking at another draft.
And like, I guess to your point too, I mean, you look, our top three wide receivers are second day guys. So third day guys, I guess, actually.
No, you know what? You're right. We have a first, a second, a fourth, a fifth, a fifth, a fifth, a sixth, a sixth, a sixth, and a seventh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I'd be fine. Okay. This is my moral compromise here. I'd be fine with two in the first three rounds or three in the draft overall taken before round seven.
Okay. I like two in the first four picks of you that you
now,
have.
Yeah. So three, once you get to three, you're just taking shots and you know that one guy's going to get cut and you're probably not going to get anything back for him. But maybe you might get a seventh round pick if somebody wants to trade for him out of camp, but then you're risking the Wyatt Teller thing, obviously. Because you obviously have to have roster spots too to be able to develop these guys. But yeah. So my other thought is too, that wide receiver list that you gave is guys that have moved on to their second or third contract. So not included in that list. Okay. All right. Sorry, I don't want to spoil anything. No. I don't want to spoil your trivia because I want to talk about the 2022 draft here.
My trivia is of the top 10 paid wide receivers that I just read to you, how many of them are on a different team than a team that drafted them?
Okay. Well, I know so Terry McLaurin still... with Washington.
Terry McLaurin's still with Washington.
Terry McLaurin. Deebo's still with San Fran.
Deebo's still with San Fran.
Tyreek is obviously off of the Chiefs and on the Dolphins now.
He's off the Chiefs.
Can you list the other guys?
This is easy trivia because all you really do
Pittman,
is
I guess two. I guess three of them. Three of them.
Pittman's still on the same team. So Hill, Adams, re-signed. Kupp, Brown, Diggs, Metcalf, Samuel, Pittman Jr., Ridley, and McLaurin.
So Samuel and Ridley obviously on different teams. Or I'm not, I'm sorry.
No.
Adams. That's what I was thinking.
Adams is on a different team. Ridley's on a different team.
Cooper Kupp, I guess. Michael Pittman Jr., Terry McLaurin.
I lost count.
Nope. Yeah, you're right. You got two left that haven't left their teams left.
Can you read them again? I'm sorry, man.
That's all right. I can just give you the answer here because it's not hard. It's just if we follow the teams, right? So of all of those wide receivers that I just lifted, five of them have been traded or signed free agent contracts with other teams. Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams, AJ Brown, Stephon Diggs, and Calvin Ridley. The ones that are with the teams that drafted them are Terry McLaurin, Michael Pittman Jr., Deebo Samuel, DK Metcalf, and Cooper Kupp. So it's split 50-50, which I thought was an interesting stat.
Yeah. But all on second contracts, because obviously you're not going to get highest paid rookies yet. So I want to look a little bit more at recent history here too, because this is also Justin Jefferson is probably going to become the highest paid wide receiver.
Yeah, and he could be another first round wide receiver there.
Right, exactly. And I'm not trying to, you know, cherry pick here, but you know, you're looking at Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave taking back to back picks 10 and 11. Mm-hmm. Jameson Williams also in that draft where we haven't really seen him. Treylon Burks went to Tennessee. He hasn't really showed anything yet, but.
Well, it's not just him, right? You got all the rookies from this year that are good. Zay Flowers.
Yeah.
But Jordan Addison as well. Mm-hmm. Those guys were all, but the best wide receivers in this past draft were in the third and sixth round because it's Tank Dell and Puka Nacua. George Pickens was second round. So also Sky Moore, some guys on here that don't really move the needle for you. Yeah. But anyway, so we're looking at this as like a value proposition of, you know, take the best player available has always been funny to me because like that's rarely ever 100% of the case. Like that's 80% of it.
Maybe.
But obviously if the best player available is a quarterback, you're not taking them in the first round unless you're the Packers and trying to light a fire underneath Aaron's.
Realistically, the quarterbacks coming out of this draft, coming out of almost any draft, are never the best players available. You always, you draft
it's
them
because they're a
potential
premium asset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Marvin Harrison Jr. is the number one rated player this year. And, you know, look at the previous first overall picks. You draft a quarterback because of need and price and being in the top of the draft for the first time. But the best player of a positional player that's not a quarterback is, you know, they
probably get pushed down a little bit. Valuable position is the inverse order of that. So positional value obviously increases your draft stock. Yeah. So I know the D tackle thing has been thrown around
Good segue.
I think that's considered a premium position. So I think that also kind of drives up the stock more than like a DB or something like that.
Well, you're talking about driving up prices here. I have the list in front of me here of the top 10 paid defensive tackles in the NFL right now. And I have the round that they were drafted in. So here we go.
I have a feeling this is a lot of first round picks.
Chris Jones, Aaron Donald, Christian Wilkins, Justin Madupke. I didn't say that right, but he's from Baltimore. Quinnen Williams, Jeffrey Simmons, Darren Payne, Dexter Lawrence, DeForest Buckner, and Jonathan Allen. Of that list, how many are first round picks?
I'm going to guess that only two are not first round picks.
Well, you made an educated guess, sir, because it's two.
Two.
Now, okay, so Chris Jones, second round pick, 37th overall. Aaron Donald, first round pick. Christian Wilkins, first round pick. Justin Madubiki, I'm sorry. Like, I'm not trying to be disrespectful here with the names like Gazelle and Giselle here, or Boris. So, I'm sorry.
Sorry, we kind of hung you out to dry on the clips there.
That's okay.
It was funny.
Third round pick, Quinnen Williams first, Jeffrey Simmons first, Darren Payne first, Dexter Lawrence first, DeForest Buckner first, Jonathan Allen first. And what's funny is the 13th pick is like the most common pick for a D tackle that is good here. Aaron Donald 13th, Christian Wilkins 13th, Darren Payne 13th, and then you have Jeffrey Simmons 19th. You got Dexter Lawrence 17th, Jonathan Allen 17th overall. And it's that sweet spot. You're outside of the top 10. Your quarterbacks are taken. You kind of push these guys down the board a little bit. But it made me think of this year's draft class, because when you're looking at who's available to take and the needs for each team, you count three wide receivers and they're going to go in the top 15. You have three quarterbacks that are going to go in the top 15. That's 6 out of 15. That's half. You got an offensive lineman that could go in the top 10. You got a couple that could go in the top 10. So that's two more. So now you're 8 out of 15 just on offense by itself. And those that's defensive
just,
players.
That's just over half for you guys keeping track of the fraction. 6 out of 15 is a little bit less than half.
Well, either way, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
These
yeah.
defensive no, players gotcha. Are going to get pushed way down. So what's yeah. the value for the Bills in the first round? If you move way up and you give up these later round assets, you could get your Justin Jefferson, or you could get your Quentin Jefferson, which would
or
be
you
bad.
Could get your Chris Jones.
Or you could get your Chris Jones if you stay put, right? Those two D tackles. There's two good D tackles projected in the first round. The guy from Texas is one of them. I don't know their names right now, but all I'm saying, you put him next to Ed Oliver, you got a freaky defensive line. And I just, this takes me to another thing, dude. It's just, I was thinking about an article. It was like an open letter to Brandon Bean to not take defense in the first round. And in my brain, it's like Patrick Mahomes ran through the top defenses in the league in the playoffs on the road. It didn't matter. The offense is what won them the Super Bowl. But their defense, Chris Jones won him a Super Bowl, basically, you know, like Chris Jones.
And like, they're not right. paying any of those guys on defense because they drafted them.
Well, Chris Jones is now the highest paid player, but you know, they're going to lose
the rest of their defense. Pat. Yes. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. It's very young.
But,
and also I don't want to hyper focus on the last Super Bowl too, because the larger you make that sample size, like all the Super Bowls, except for a couple of, you know, ones that were once in a, you know, half century, they're all top five offenses, yeah. but half of them are not top five defenses. Yeah. So it's like, you can win it with a top five defense and not a top five offense. Like the Chiefs were this past year, and they probably still were a top five offense when it came down to all of it. But yeah, the offense is the important part. So I would still be fine if they went D tackle and then wide receiver, or they got two wide receivers, maybe another one in the fourth or the fifth round or something like that. Like however the board shakes out. But you're right though, because after you get those first couple of wide receivers off the board, that next group of them, like who's to say who's going to be the next star? Like you're yeah. just, your judgment is not that much better than the next guy.
And you could be rated
these mid rounds receivers. Like you don't know if you're going to get a Sky Moore or a DK Metcalf. Now, those guys physically, I think anyone with a pair of eyes could have told the difference between those guys, but apparently like that, their draft position was about the same, yeah. you know, different drafts obviously, but.
And then you could have a GM rating Sky Moore as a first round pick and DK Metcalf as a third round pick, you know, and they right. both end up going in the second round. So it's a weird mix that is going to happen here. And it just yeah. is interesting to me. And the other part is you have Sean McDermott here who has coached up this defense. He has coached up replacements to this defense. He has dealt with the injuries on our secondary and our linebacking core, this rotating through defensive line. And I would rather have this shiny toy on offense and this platooning of Josh Allen to get him to be better as best that you can to float this offense and let Sean McDermott work his magic on defense with some other kind of player, right? To have him work his magic with a later round pick, to look at the Christian Benfords, the Taylor Rapps, the, you know, Daquan Jones, all these guys that are not premium assets. Ed Oliver is the only one really.
Yeah.
Your linebackers are middle round picks, and now both your corners are later round picks. You don't have a superstar except Von Miller now, I guess, but
right.
you don't have one of these guys because you're paying a defensive coach to do this, which is already against the trend in the NFL. So I think to maximize Sean McDermott's capabilities to say you have a defensive coach to get the right value for Sean McDermott, to get behind the idea of having a defensive minded head coach, is you have to let him squeeze the talent out of somebody less expensive and less of a premium asset and put those premium assets on the offensive side of the ball. So like take yeah. advantage of this opportunity. And it's one of the few things that you can say with a defensive coordinator as a head coach is you can squeeze this defense the most that you can and let the offense take all the toys, because your defensive coordinator is your head coach and he's the very talented guy and he can get that from him.
Well, let me go along with this. Let me ask you guys this. would you rather add to your team tomorrow? And I know Aaron Donald just retired. So I guess maybe let's go Chris Jones. Would you rather add Chris Jones tomorrow or Justin Jefferson?
Chris Jones.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it's Justin Jefferson for
me.
We
don't have a Chris Jones on our team. We have a...
No, but can you imagine Justin Jefferson and Stephon Diggs?
I can see him running the ball on first and second down still. Oh. With both those guys.
Joe Brady felt that one.
Oh. No offense, Joe, but I think having Chris Jones on the field when you don't have a Chris Jones is different than putting Justin Jefferson next to Stephon Diggs. That's where my brain goes. I agree with you. It would be awesome. You know, I don't know. But I still think Mahomes is going to score more than you if you... I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't want to beat the Chiefs. That's all I'm saying is I'm so focused on beating the Chiefs. And I don't know. D-tackle up the middle is the only way to beat Brady. It's been really... You know, you can't even really beat Mahomes with it because he's such more mobile than Brady was. So,
right. You're going to have good defensive ends to pair with that too, or else, you know.
Which we do, in theory. Greg Rousseau's got those huge arms. So it's kind of a cool design how they have built this D-line with their stocky guys in the middle. I guess Daquan's pretty big, but like Ed Oliver's a bull. And then you've got these like huge monster arms coming around the edges. So it's like, you know, the big guys on the edge, the smaller guys in the middle, and they're getting you from all angles, which we kind of saw this year play out.
Right.
What do I know?
It'll be interesting. Watch what happens. They'll take a safety in the first round or something, something silly like that. But or D end. Oh my God. Can you imagine if they took another D end again?
It's better than a running back.
That's true. Well, they don't need a running back at this point. So they're all set. Re-sign Ty Johnson. I think we're all happy about that. He's exciting to watch running the ball. He's got a little bit of explosiveness to him where something interesting is usually happening if he has the ball. But
the other part that's interesting with Ty Johnson, again, I mean, I don't know how much it matters, but aren't we a three running back team? We're still one short.
Whatever happened to, I mean, not that I would want him on the team because he is old, but is Latavius Murray just retired? He's finally had enough.
He was old this year. I mean, he looked fine at the beginning of the season, but he kind of fell off. He's like 32, 33, you know, which is 89 in running back years, right?
I was going to say he was the oldest active running back, I believe.
But yeah.
I think. That didn't stop us from signing Frank Gore.
Damian Harris is a free agent though.
Okay. Gotcha. So they could sign him back for pennies, but again, he had an injury and stuff like that. I'm not worried about running back three at this point.
Yeah,
like
me neither.
Josh Allen should be your short area running back always.
Yeah.
Or most of the time, at least. And so anyway, we got to get a break in here real quick because we got some quotes with Pat to get to on the other side. So stick with us and we'll be right back.
Talking to myself and I'm feeling just fine. Talking to myself and I'm having a time. Talking to myself and I'm losing my mind. Oh, yeah.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You got something a little bit different today. You said you had like a little spin on Quotes with Pat.
Yeah, so I figured I'd do a little bit of Quotes with Pat meets Top 10 meets my love for the Dave Matthews Band. If you guys don't know, I you know, played Call of Duty as a kid, and I always try to have my name be something, you know, interesting and obscure Clark within Griswold. Pop culture. And so my name used to be Clark Griswold, which love if it. Any of you guys have watched any of the Vacation movies, great series. But recently when I got back into it about, I don't know, 3 years ago, I had my name, which I couldn't believe it wasn't taken, as Dave_Matthews for Call of Duty, my Activision name. So recently in Rochester, there's been, I won't get into it, but about 12% of the water comes from this reservoir in the city that is contaminated right now. So there's a lot of signs that say, don't drink the water. Don't drink the water is a Dave Matthews song. And so in my eternal love for Dave Matthews, I figured I would take 10 Dave Matthews songs and equate them to current NFL headlines. So
okay.
This is great.
This is cool.
So track number one, the best of what's around. Gardner Minshew is honestly the best of what's around with quarterbacks this season. So free agents, not trying to say that anyone made a lot of money that shouldn't have made a lot of money, or anyone's going to a team in a dome that maybe shouldn't have an opportunity to start. But if you were to ask me who's the best of what's around the free agent market, I'd say Gardner. Best of luck to you. Second is warehouse of quarterbacks in Pittsburgh.
Yes, there's a couple there I hear now.
So this third track, this is from their second album, Crash. Wide receivers cost too much. Gabe Davis, Calvin Ridley, God bless you. You're making a lot of money. We're not going to pay you.
Who would have thought Calvin Ridley is the ninth highest paid wide receiver in the NFL now?
Respect. I mean, the Titans, they're throwing around some money. I'll give them that. I mean, let Will cook and eat mayonnaise with his coffee, I guess, if that's what you want. But so on the same token, the second to last track off Dave's debut album, Under the Table and Dreaming, is Pay for What You Get. So hopefully the Steelers get more than a $1 million man in Russell Wilson. Number 43, possibly my favorite DMB song. Andrew Van Ginkle, also one of my favorite players in the NFL. Sweet hair, very niche player.
Yes.
Thank God he's out of the division. He's playing for the Vikings now, so good for us. I also really like typical situations. So the Washington Commanders are in a typical quarterback situation, you know, in between a rock and a hard place, as they say. Let's see. Also on Under the Table and Dreaming is Rhyme and Reason. What is the rhyme and reason for Kirk Cousins making all this money? Who knows?
Because he went to Michigan State.
You know, go Spartans, right? Yeah. Beat out Nick Foles, I guess. You know, whatever. Yeah. So this last one. Oh, I'm sorry. I have three more, actually. Also, one of my favorites. I don't know if you guys ever listen to Dave Matthews Live in New York. It's a 2-CD set. Highly recommend it. He's got Warren Haynes guesting on it. Super good. One of my favorite songs on that is Stay Wasting Time. And I mean, stay wasting time and money. Titans and Falcons, sign some older players, you know, throw them a lot of money and don't expect a lot in return.
Yes.
Yep. And they've done that before.
This next one, every time we would play Search and Destroy for all of you Call of Duty folks out there, anytime I would have a chance to win the game, I would always sing The Space Between. But the Chicago Bears are in the space between being terrible and mediocre.
That's for damn sure.
And lastly, where are you going? Aaron Jones and Josh Jacobs. Where are you going? I guess you're just switching teams. You're on the same team for a minute and then you just, whatever, you know. East week from across the country, two families are chosen. You know, wife swap. That was the intro I was going
yes,
for. But
yes.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Speaking of where are you going, like Trey White met with teams this week too.
Oh, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, I don't want to think sad. About that. Yeah.
It's sad. I wouldn't be able to see Trey in another uniform, honestly. Like full support. Like if the Bills are not offering you a roster spot, like go get it. I'm not on board with any of the ill will towards any players you sign anywhere if the Bills don't renew their contracts. Like
now, Pat, maybe this fits the Trey White situation. It's called Broken Things. You ever hear that song? It's from Away from the World.
Little Dave Matthews. I like it. Track number 11.
And by Broken Things, I don't mean Trey White. I'm sorry. That sounded disrespectful, but I mean my heart about Trey White. It's a broken thing.
Yeah. And Trey's Achilles. So I understand. That was a good one though. I do like Broken Things. That's a good ad.
That was a good list, Pat. That was a good list.
Thanks, man.
My favorite DMB song is Funny the Way It Is. So
I was thinking about that too. Like, but I just couldn't think of anything that was, because I was gonna do Funny the Way It Is, you know, that Kirk Cousins, but it's like I had to choose the Kirk one that like would make sense. But
yeah. Kirk Cousins might be the most overpaid, reasonable player.
He's not bad.
He's not bad. He's reasonable. Yeah. He's reasonable. I'm not, you know, he wouldn't get these contracts if he were bad. And, you know, if you definitely look at his career arc I don't want to get on a whole tangent here about.
No, I mean, go on it. Because
he's a good guy to talk about. Yeah.
When he was doing the, you like that thing in Washington, and he was the underdog, and was it Carson Wentz that he came out from behind? No, RG3. Carson Wentz played for RG3. Thank you.
Yeah. After Mike Shanahan ruined his career, made him play hurt in a playoff game.
Right, right.
Have you ever seen
Kirk Cousins'
clip?
Career arc? No.
It's sad. Don't watch it. They knew he got hurt before, and he wanted to carry this team, and he was having a historic rookie season, and it was like he bent to catch a snap, and his knee just buckled, and everything tore, and he was done. Because he just they shot him up to go play, and you can see his knee just like no contact, bending over for the ball. Nothing's there. He's got the brace on it. But I really liked RG3 when he came in.
I'm glad he's having a good career in broadcasting now.
Good.
He's gotten into good. That. I mean, I don't know. What's he been doing in a couple of years?
He's a little controversial now, I think. He's sworn a few times.
You know what I mean? If we're talking about him, he's doing a good job. I mean, not everyone can just be your dad, aka Tony Romo, who's just gonna ramble on about stuff. RG3's got takes and he stands by him. And
Fair enough.
I like that.
I guess he's entertainment.
In defense to what you were saying, John, I don't think they've had a winning record since Kirk Cousins was on the team, the Commanders. So
you might be right. I mean, what quarterbacks have they gone through? I can remember Carson Wentz, obviously Sam Howell.
They played Brady in the playoffs,
they had a losing record.
Did they?
Yeah, they might have. They went to the playoffs with a losing record. They're seven and nine. Yeah, they might have been 7-9 or 8-8 or something like that. Because there was a young guy playing that year too.
Taylor Heineke was in.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Ready? You want to know exactly what it is? Because I guess you would call it a winning season, unfortunately. It wouldn't even be then. Okay. Well, we have them at 4-13, 8-8-1, 7-10, 7-9.
That's still a 500. That's still a 500 season.
3-13, 7-9, 7-9. 8-7-1, I want to say that was with Kirk Cousins. 9-7, 4-12. Was their last 10 records.
Was it a 7-9 the year that they faced Brady?
Yes, I am certain.
Yeah.
It was 2020 when he played Brady.
Yeah, it was January 2021. And if you guys remember, Washington almost won that game.
Yeah. They did.
Yeah, they were 7-9 that year. And it was 31-23 that game. And at one point it was 18-16 going into the fourth quarter.
Well, Pat, take the Gatorade dump, man. You deserve it.
What is Kirk's record? How many is he just played in one playoff game in Minnesota? 2?
I want to say it's 1-3. He's 1-4 in his career.
Kirk Cousins overall is 78-70-2 record. If you were looking for the overall,
it's 500. It's like our game picks record.
What about postseason with the Vikings?
All right. With the Vikings, I got it here. Lost to the Giants in 2023.
I was thinking that's the last time he was in the playoffs. Embarrassing. Yeah.
He lost to the 49ers in the divisional round. He won against New Orleans in the wild card.
That's his only playoff win.
He lost to Green Bay in 2016, and then he lost to Seattle in 2013. Well, I guess he only went 3-10.
So he's 1-3 with Minnesota, 0-2 with Washington.
Yeah, I guess I just say 0-1 with Washington because that game in that first one he didn't really play in. So
gotcha.
Still. But, I mean, yeah, so he's 1-6. What is that?
Like dude's worth $500 million is what it is.
16% chance he's going to win you a game in the playoffs. 16.5% chance.
Right, right.
Well, again, I'll take $500 million.
Yeah, you and the rest of the world.
Yeah.
But well, sweet. I think we're going to get out of here unless you guys get anything else we got to get to. Anything?
Go Bills. No?
Yeah, sweet. Well, you guys know where to find us on all platforms at Not Buff Podcast. Again, check out that house that we have listed in the show notes if you might be interested. Batavia, New York, beautiful place to live. NotAnotherBillsPodcast@gmail.com is the email. If you want to shoot us your questions, we'll read them on the air and stuff like that.
But, nice RJ shirt. Sabres in the home stretch here.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks. I can wear it on the pod, but I can't wear it in public because it's too tight now. It shrunk up a little bit. So.
Muscles.
I was going to say, you don't want to give them free tickets to the show?
No, it's more like belly. That's the part that sticks out that I don't like. So. Anyway, aside from that debacle of getting close to age 30, we'll see you guys next week.
Go Bills.
As always, go Bills.
Go Bills.